You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The message was presented by Dr. Dale Meyer on the Lutheran Hour. Its title, Bought with a Price. Now here is Dr. Meyer.
A listener wrote, Dr. Meyer, I want to know, how can I tell whether I'll go to heaven when I die? I'm a true believer in God and go to church. I ask Jesus to help me. I ask Jesus to help me in every way and strengthen my faith. I hope to see him. I'll answer your question. I want to talk with you about your death. Not someone else's death, your death. This isn't going to be a morbid message. Why should it be? We've just celebrated Easter, the victory of Jesus over death. Because Jesus lives, you can live also. No, talking about your death need not be morbid. But this talk shouldn't be avoided either. The other day I was driving in the car listening to a talk show on the radio. The guest was describing her child's experience with death. It seems that Grandpa was sick, in fact, terminally ill. The child sensed that and asked, Grandpa, are you going to die?
No, Grandpa blustered. No, I'm not going to die.
He didn't want to face the fact and talk about his death. Maybe it's hard for you to talk about your death with children or grandchildren, with husband or wife. I can understand that. Maybe it's hard for you to get with a pastor and lay out all your feelings in front of him. Sometimes that's true, too. But our relationship here on the radio is a little different. You and I can talk. As a pastor, I want to speak with you about your death. I want you to know that you can safely make your trip through the valley of the shadow of death. You can make your journey safely because the one who's waiting for you on the other side is the one who has redeemed you with his own life. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20 say, "You do not belong to yourselves because you were bought for a price." You may be afraid to die because death will bring you before the judgment of God. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, each to receive what he deserves according to what he did with his body, whether good or evil. So says 2 Corinthians 5:10. It's a scary prospect to have the Holy Son of God judging you for eternity. You know your failures. You know the wrong-headed things you did as a youth. You know the hurts you've brought on others. Don't imagine that your sins are canceled out by the good that you did in your life. They're not. Remember, you're coming before a perfectly holy and demanding judge. There's only one reason why you don't have to be afraid of judgment. Jesus Christ has bought you for his own. Your judge is also your Savior. Zechariah chapter 3 presents us with a vision of the eternal judgment. It reads like this. Then the Lord showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right side to accuse him. Joshua represents God's people, you and me, in judgment. Satan, you know, he's the accuser. He's pointing out every sin you have ever committed. I read on. The Lord said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is not this man a burning stick snatched from the fire?" Now Joshua was dressed in filthy clothes as he stood before the angel. The angel said to those who were standing before him, "Take off his filthy clothes." Then he said to Joshua, "See, I have taken away your sin, and I will put rich garments on you." Your judge has also taken away your sin. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. He gave himself into death on Calvary's cross in order to pay the price for all your sins. Your eternal judge came from the invisible realm of heaven to earth so that he could be your substitute and suffer the punishment that your sins deserve. Dr. Martin Luther confesses, I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned creature, purchased and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death, that I may be his own, and live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, even as he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true. You were bought with a price. That's the key that opens heaven's door and that can comfort you as you prepare for your death. Now, I've heard some Christian people ask, if you were put on trial for Christianity, would there be enough evidence to convict you? The truth is that it takes very little evidence at all. All that is needed is that you, a sinner, believe the word of God that says Jesus Christ is your Savior. That's the only evidence that will be required. Good works are wonderful. We need them in this world. Pious and moral lives are important in our society. We should be doing them. But such commendable things won't save you before the judgment of God. There's only one piece of evidence that God seeks. Are you a sinner who believes the word of God when it says that you have been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ? If your answer is yes, then you need not fear the judgment that comes at death. Jesus says in John 5, I tell you the absolute truth. The person who listens to my word and believes him who sent me has everlasting life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. Since you were bought with a price, you are not your own. That means there are some things you need to let go. You need to loosen your grip, relinquish control, and rest your cause with your Savior. Let go of your hatreds. In the course of a lifetime, you and I build up some pretty strong feelings against other people. Maybe you haven't spoken to a family member for years. Maybe you despise someone with whom you worked. Maybe someone shamed you and your family, and you say you can't forgive them. What are the hatreds in your heart? Who is it that you won't forgive? One more question, to whom do you belong? You do not belong to yourselves because you were bought for a price. You belong to a God of forgiveness. Your Savior tells the story of a slave who was forgiven a great debt, but then turned around and would not forgive a debt due him. You wicked slave, the master said, I canceled all you owed me because you begged me. Shouldn't you also have treated your fellow slave as mercifully as I treated you? Indeed, you have been forgiven, and so you should forgive all who have wronged you. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. You are not your own. Let go of your hatreds. You are not your own. So let go of your fears. The judgment of God is not the only reason you might fear death. You've heard so much about life support systems, arguments about pulling the plug, and so on. That's scary. You should know that most people do not die hooked up to life support machines, nor are their deaths argued over when to pull the plug. That should reduce your fear. You can further reduce your fears by talking about your death with your family, your doctor, and your pastor. Should you be unable to give directions about your care when death is approaching, the decisions will fall to your family. Tell them you're a Christian and that the directives for dying that matter to you are God's directives in the Bible. You can ask them to alleviate your pain. Tell them to sustain your life, but not to prolong your death when it is imminent. After all, you're going to heaven. Ask your doctor if he upholds the entire Hippocratic Oath, especially that he will not assist in euthanasia. Ask your pastor to serve you with devotions from the Word of God and with the sacrament of Christ's true body and blood. Share your faith with all these people. Speak of the hope that you have because of Christ. When you do that, your doctor, your family, and your pastor will know what you want, should you be unable to speak for yourself as death comes. This is better than binding yourself to something on paper. Talk it over ahead of time with your family and with your doctor and your pastor. Through these conversations about your death, they'll see how sure and certain is your hope for eternal life through Jesus Christ. There is something else that you can do to let go of your fears. Pray. Pray that God uphold you with His everlasting arms as your death draws near. Psalm 145, verses 18 and 19 say, "The Lord is near to all who call upon Him, to all who call upon Him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear Him. He will hear their cry and save them." Proverbs 15, verse 29, "The Lord is far from the wicked, but He hears the prayer of the righteous." And Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Yes, the Word of God can help you let go of your fears. It enables you to let go of your hatreds and grudges. Best of all, it frees you from the fear of being condemned by the Holy God. In this way alone, you will have a good death. Because you were bought by your Savior, you don't belong to yourself. You don't have to be afraid of losing control. The people promoting euthanasia, mercy killing, talk so much about losing control and dignity in dying. The fact is that there is absolutely no way to gain control over death. You either surrender to it or you conquer it. The supporters of euthanasia have surrendered to death. The better alternative is to face death as a conqueror, which is what our Christian message is all about. We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. The proponents of mercy killing talk about dignity in death. They're not promoting dignity. They're promoting arrogant, self-centered defiance against God and His plan of life for us in Christ Jesus. You, on the other hand, will have dignity in death when you hand yourself over to Him who bought you. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. Now our talk about your death is near its end. I've said many things, and there is much more that I could say. The things you and I have talked about here are too important to trust only to your memory. What we've said needs to be read, reviewed, and pondered in your heart and mind. That's why I'm encouraging you to give us a phone call or drop us a line and ask for this message. The announcer will be along shortly with our phone number and address. I hope you'll ask for a free copy of this message, for the day is coming when you'll need to hang on to these truths from God's Word, to hang on for your eternal life. so many things we've said, and there remains one more thing to say. Yes, you are on your way to heaven. Jesus paid for you with his own life so that you might be his own. Jesus rose on Easter morning. That's the assurance that you're going to live forever with him in heaven. In John 14, verse 19, Jesus says, "Because I live, you shall live also." 2 Corinthians 4:14, "We know that he who raised the Lord Jesus will also raise us with Jesus and bring us with you before him." I don't know who first told the story, but there was a schoolgirl who had to go through a cemetery every day on her way home from school. In the winter months, that was a dark and eerie place to pass through. The girl was asked by her classmates, "Aren't you scared to go through the cemetery?" "No," she said, "because I know my home is just on the other side." "Let not your hearts be troubled," says Jesus. "Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And when I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." Yes, you're going to heaven. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this message. The Lutheran Hour is a listener-supported ministry of the International Lutheran Layman's League.